Hello, everybody. Our theme tonight is obviously everlasting words. What is everlasting words? The dictionary defines everlasting as permanent, never-ending, and lasting forever. And word as speech, talk, expression, or an utterance. The Bible also talks about Jesus and the words written in the Bible as the Word. So everlasting words must mean that what we say, either when we talk or when we write, are the word, and the words of the Bible do last forever. When something is going to last forever, to me it also has power. So the words we use have power. And it is this power of our word that I want to focus on tonight. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." I actually like the Message translation of it. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. It might seem extreme to say that we can kill or even bring life just by what we say. They are just words after all. But think about the number of people fighting depression or have self-harmed because of something that was said to them. Or the number of people who have eating disorders because somebody called them fat or somebody implied that they were overweight. Then there are also those who are standing up and achieving great things and living with great joy in their lives because of an encouraging word from someone or they heard the voice of God. The Bible says the whole earth was created by the word of God. If you read Genesis and the creation, it says, "God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters, and it was so. God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, and it was so. God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and it was so. God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, and it was so. And God said, let us make man in our image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So we, including the whole earth and ourselves, were created by the spoken word of God. The Bible compares our words to a sword, a snake, a bow, and an arrow, among many things. It talks about our words being a weapon that can hurt and even kill. But it also talks about the power of our word to give life. Proverbs 12:18 talks about the tongue of the wise bringing healing. What we say can bring healing into someone's life. And even how we talk to ourselves can bring healing into our body. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. That's Proverbs 10:20. And 10:21 says the lips of the righteous nourish many. So we can either use our words to encourage, uplift, and build people up, or to condemn, criticize, and tear them down. Our words don't only have the ability to affect others, but it has an effect on us. In Ephesians 4:29, God clearly says we have to use our words to build people up. Unfortunately, we do live in a broken world, and quite often, words are used as weapons. We are often told we are somehow not good enough. We are either too fat or too thin. We can be too tall or too short. And we are either too dark or too white. And sometimes people say you're too shy. Then others say you talk too much. The world always seems to say we don't measure up and we don't fit in. The criticism And the negative talk can lead to very low self-esteem, which in turn leads to eating disorders, depression, self-harm, bullying, and even to suicide. In my life, words have been very powerful and lasting. Like so many of us growing up, I was surrounded by negative talk. And like a sponge, I soaked every single word. They impacted me so much that I became very depressed. The words obviously didn't bring death to my body, but they certainly brought death to my spirit. Because I believed every negative word that was said, my heart was filled with them. I believed that's who I was, so that's how I acted. I wasn't only critical and judgmental and hopeless when I spoke about myself, but that's how I was with others. In Matthew 12:34 says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what was coming out of my mouth wasn't very nice. I was not only condemning myself, I condemned everybody around me. So how do we overcome the negativity of the words spoken to us and we in turn speak? Let's have a look at Proverbs 18:21 again. It says, words kill, words give life. They are either poison or fruit. You choose. The key words are you choose. We have a responsibility. We can either choose to listen to and speak words that are critical and condemning and tear people down, or use words that are encouraging, comforting, and uplifting. It seems simple enough. Of course, we want people to encourage us and talk nicely to us, so we should speak the same way to others. But I find these days, the encouraging words are very hard to come by. As I mentioned earlier, it is out of the fullness of our heart that our mouth speaks. What we fill our hearts with is what is going to come out of our mouth. So what do we fill our hearts with? Here again, we have a choice. We can fill ourselves with the things of the world, what everyone is saying, what the magazines are saying, and all the criticism and unkind words said to us. Or we can turn and fill our hearts with the truth and listen to the one who knows us better than we know ourselves, God. He created us, He formed us in our mother's womb, and He put us together bit by bit. He made sure we looked exactly as He wanted us to look. And every part of us, the outside and the inside, was just perfect. We had a Master Chef night a few weeks ago, as you all saw. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about how carefully we measured up all the ingredients and how we put it all together so it was just right. And we tried to get the temperature just right. And we made sure the presentation was just perfect, or we tried. And I think that's how God is when He makes us. He pays very careful attention to us. He is a perfect God, and everything He makes is perfect. Yeah, we do have weaknesses or things about us that we need to work on, but they're not who we are. They're not the person God created us to be. I think they're the result of the fact that we do live in a sinful world. I had a lot of people telling me that God made me perfect and showed me scriptures that used to say that I was perfect and I was created perfect. And I used to say, I know God made me perfect. I know what it says in the Bible. But I was sure I had completely stuffed it up. And there was no turning back. It took me a long time to realize that what I believed I wasn't good enough and therefore behaved like it. The person God created is still there within me. The only way I got to this point was to choose to listen to people who spoke God's truth into my life. The ones who saw the real me, the ones who encouraged me and guided me. And most importantly, I had to spend time with God in prayer and in reading His word. One of the greatest breakthrough came for me when someone taught me Psalm 139. It starts off talking about how God knows me completely. There's nowhere that I could go to hide from Him. He knows my thoughts, and He knows every word I'm about to speak before I speak it. What amazes me and what broke through to my spirit was God knew all of this. He knew the person I am when nobody else saw me. He knew the good, and He knew the very worst of me. And knowing it all, He chose to come to earth and to die just for me. Psalm 139 goes on to read from verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This brought home to me the fact that God not only knew, but He also made me. He made me fearfully and wonderfully. And who was I to argue with Him? It's not easy. It's not easy to believe all the negative. It's easier to believe all the negative words than to believe the positive words. They say it takes about 10 positive words to make up for one negative word. I think I needed a lot more. It's easier to sit and watch TV, or to sleep, or go on Facebook, or do anything but read the Bible. But I think even if you spend a few minutes each day reading the Word and filling yourself with the voice of God, it has a huge impact on your life. The only words that are truly going to be live and lasting are the words in this book. The Word of God says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. The Word of God gives life. It comforts, it convicts, and it builds. Most of us have heard the story of David and Goliath. For those of us who don't know, David was a little boy who stood in front of Goliath the giant. When the whole Israel army was afraid of him, there were trained soldiers, but they wouldn't go up. But David went up with a slingshot, and he stood there and killed the giant. I was reading it the other day, and I noticed what his brother actually told him when he first went to the battlefield. His brother's words were, I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. What would have happened if David chose to listen to his brother instead of to God? The next thing we need to do is guard our tongue. Even if we choose to fill our hearts with the right things and choose our words carefully, our tongue can get the better of us sometimes. We need to commit our tongue to God daily. I'm getting into the habit of asking God to continually put a guard over my mouth, especially when I know I'm going to be in situations where I'm going to be tempted. When I do surrender my speech to God and I'm tempted, I do hear God saying, keep quiet. Maybe you shouldn't say it. Maybe it's better to walk away. But then I still have to choose. I can still choose to ignore Him, or I can choose to listen. But there are many times I do ignore Him. I find a way of justifying what He's saying and why I need to say what I need to say. And I go ahead and spew out the words. But the moment they come out, I know I shouldn't have said it. And then I have to try and go and apologize and try and make things right. But the fact is, I already hurt someone. I already offended them. It's also easy to justify what we say. Someone said to me a few weeks ago that we all say things when we're angry, but of course we don't mean it. The reality is, whether we mean it or not, we already hurt someone. And if you're truly honest, we will realize that we wouldn't have said it if we didn't mean to hurt them. When God says, "Don't sin when God says, "Don't sin in your anger," this is part of what He means. God commands us to love one another, and when we hurt others, we do violate this. Before I finish, I just wanted to say two things. I think parents have a very important role in raising their kids and the words that they speak to their children. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Parents are our first exposure to the world. They teach us everything, and all children look to their parents, not only for direction and guidance, but to tell them who they are. What you're going to say to them could make them or break them. And children, we have to be very careful of how we speak to our parents. We are to honor our parents. And God says if we honor them, we will have a good life. Honoring your parents means that you respect them. And even if you have a disagreement, that you are polite and you sit down and you talk to them instead of screaming at them or walking away. Because parents are humans too. And what we say to them is going to impact on their lives. So we have a choice to make. We can either choose to listen to and speak words that are uplifting, words that build people and not tear them down. We have to fill our hearts with the right words, especially the word of God. Ask God to put a guard over our mouths. Words are everlasting. They can either bring death or they can bring life. What are you going to choose? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for the worship, the dramas, and the MasterChef video, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that the words you have spoken to us, that we will store up in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to choose our words carefully, to watch what we say, and to watch what we fill our hearts with. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.